I said that, and now I'm just going to give you a brief introduction to what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks. Clear back in the fall, I started a little bit of series on basically the idea of getting to know God better. And our deacon board is doing a study of the book Knowing God by J.I. Packard. Very challenging study. Very challenging book. It's one that I honestly think we are going to be doing as a Sunday school study one of these days, coming probably in fall or maybe early next year. But we're going to, and the book is talking about, of course, knowing God. And so we talked about God the Father, and we talked about knowing God the Father, and who He is, and how great He is, and we even covered some of the names for God, Jehovah, and Elohim, and, the different names, and we learned a couple more this Sunday and stuff, and then we went in and we talked about Jesus Christ, discovering Jesus, and after Christmas, we talked about Jesus's his life, what did he claim about himself. We went through the I am statements that Jesus made, and we kind of did that up to Easter, and then, we just kind of stopped, but we shouldn't have stopped, because there's one more person of the Trinity that we haven't discussed. And I'm guilty about just about blowing it off. And not discussing, but we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that quite frankly, a lot of evangelicals don't talk much about the Holy Spirit, which is really kind of strange, because the Holy Spirit is the person of God that lives in us and that is in us at all times. And so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit coming up. And today we're just kind of looking at a transitional period for the disciples. Jesus was ending his ministry here on the earth, and he was telling them that he was going to be leaving them. So we're going to just kind of look at two verses, John chapter 14, and in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, we read, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would tweak our interest this morning into your Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity that so often is overlooked. Lord, in a few minutes we have, through the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word, speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this was a transitional period. Jesus was preparing to leave the disciples, and the disciples did not like it. The man they had lived with for 3 years, the man that they had followed, that they had sacrificed for, that they had been chastised for, that they had kind of left their homes and their occupations for, he was announcing to them that he was going to be leaving. We see that Jesus is going back to the Father. He's going back to the Father. Now, he started, this is in John chapter 14, isn't where he started telling them this. He started telling them clear back in John chapter 7, when we read in verses 33 and 34 these words, "Therefore Jesus said, for a little while longer I am with you, then I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me and will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. So clear back then, we already see Jesus very plainly. Now, there are hints even earlier than that. But here we see very plainly that Jesus Christ, he is anticipating a short stay on this earth. And again, it's just, you know, it's going over the disciples' heads, and they're not really understanding that. But when we get to the later chapters of John, he's getting very specific about it and very dramatic about it. And he's telling them in John 13:33, he says, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am, you cannot come." So in other words, he's going, and they can't follow him. Well, they're used to following Jesus everywhere, because they've been following him for 3 years. But where he is going, they cannot come. And the disciples are not liking it. In John 13:36, just a few verses later, this is what Simon Peter says to him. "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later." So Peter, and this is where Peter gets, you know, very defensive of the Lord and says, "You know, we're going to fight for you. We're going to stand for you. Don't worry. No one's going to take you." Because Peter just doesn't understand what's going on. But Jesus is announcing that he is leaving them. And as we get into John chapter 14, and these are just wonderful words, because Jesus senses that this transition is not going well for the disciples. They're not understanding it, and they're not liking it. And so this is what he says, beginning of John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus is trying to comfort them by saying, "Yes, I am going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me." Trying to comfort. But Jesus is going back to the Father. It's a transition period. Now, to us, that doesn't mean much, because we didn't have the opportunity to walk with Jesus while he was on the earth. So we didn't get to know personally, up close and personal, that Jesus that walked on the earth. And yes, we can know him up close and personal through his Holy Spirit that he is going to send. But then there's the other promise that Jesus made to his disciples, and that is that Jesus' followers will never be alone. Jesus' followers will never be alone. Well, how does that work out? He's going back to the Father, and he's going to prepare a place for them, and he does promise that he will come back for them. But, you know, if a loved one in your family goes on a trip, they're gone. You know, last fall, Lizzie was in school, and Hannah and Melissa were on a trip, supposedly going to a wedding that didn't happen, on the east side of the country. It couldn't be Western Washington. No, east side of the country. And so they were gone, and I was alone. And I felt alone during that, because the house was empty, except for a sick dog. And trust me, that didn't help me feel any better, having a sick dog to take care of and who didn't make it. You know, that was even, and so even the dog abandoned me. You know, I must be pretty poor company to be around. I really felt all alone. I really did. And I'm sure that's what the disciples were saying, is, "Wait a second, we don't want to be alone." And Jesus promised them, "You will ever be alone. If we go to Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, we have this great, the Great Commission. And we love these two verses. We like it. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, this passage of Scripture came after the John passage of Scripture where Jesus says, I'm leaving you. But even after that, this is after his death and resurrection, Jesus is about to ascend here to heaven, and he says, I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. And so he promises that his followers will never be alone. In Hebrews 13:5, we read, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Again, talking about what the words of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking at that, and it's, again, it's like, okay, we have this transition here. Jesus is leaving. So how is it that we are not going to be alone? And, you know, we can say that today. Jesus is with God in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. How is it that we are not alone? In fact, if we even go back to the very beginning, you know, of the New Testament, the announcement of Jesus Christ coming, Matthew 1:23, we read, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Well, Emmanuel is going back to heaven. So how come God is with us? Well, in Mark, I'm skipping the Acts verse, but I'm going to John 14. In John chapter 14, verse 16, and again, this is when he's comforting his disciples. This is what he says to them. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus is saying, I am leaving, but I am sending someone in my behalf. The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, who is the Holy Spirit, but who is God. So Jesus is leaving, yes. The Holy Spirit is coming, yes. And the Holy Spirit is God. Now, the third thing that we just need to look at too is that the Holy Spirit will come to all who believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to everybody. But it comes to only those people who believe in Jesus Christ. And we proclaim, we believe in this church, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are those who say, no, that's a separate event. I don't personally believe that. I believe at the point you accept Jesus Christ, he fills you with his Holy Spirit. He comes to live with you, inside of you, through his Spirit. We go back to John 14:17. It says that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him or see him or know him, but that you know him because he abides with you and in you. The world has no clue what the Holy Spirit is. You know, the world looks at the Holy Spirit as kind of weedy TV stuff. Kind of, spiritual stuff, you know. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, that a lot of Christians believe the same way, that the Holy Spirit is just sort of a mystical character that is kind of haunting or kind of scary. And that could be further from the truth. And we need to know about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who lives in us. Again, we look at John 7:39. He says, but this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit who comes to all who believe. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never alone. You are never alone. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And we're going to fill that out a lot in the weeks to come. And so you'll know exactly what that's like. You know, I don't know how many of you watch cartoons. I used to, and maybe occasionally I still do. But have you ever seen a cartoon where they have the shoulder angels? You know, the shoulder angels? One is an angel, and the other one is Satan. You know, and I really think that's people's, that's their picture of the Holy Spirit. It's a shoulder angel. You know, he's there, kind of talks in this ear, and Satan kind of talks into this ear, and you know, you're supposed to listen to the angel, shoulder angel, you know, not Satan. You know, and so we kind of, I think that's sort of our picture of what the Holy Spirit is. And that is just so far from what the Holy Spirit really is, who he is, and what he will do in our lives when we allow him to work in our lives. But, you know, Jesus, again, to comfort his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. I'm sure the disciples saying, how can you even say that? It's your advantage that I leave. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him. Jesus is telling them that you are going to be even better off when I'm back with the Father, because the Holy Spirit will be with you. And today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, I had not planned it this way. I just, oh wow, look at that. It's Pentecost Sunday. I didn't know that. You know, because I'm not one of those people who like to follow the lectionary and that type of thing. But what happened on Pentecost Sunday was really exciting. Because this is what Jesus was talking about, and this is why we are never alone. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them like tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Oh, to be there on that day when that Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' followers. What it would have been like to have an actual visual appearance of what the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't see the Holy Spirit. They just saw flames and all these things, you know, but that's when the Holy Spirit came. And what an exciting day when that happened. But you know what? It's no more exciting than the day we accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Now, I've done a study before when we show the disciples before the Holy Spirit and when we show the disciples after the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing. Those guys are transformed by the Holy Spirit. We have the same capability as the disciples. We have the same Spirit living in us as the disciples. And I'm really excited that over the next couple weeks, we're going to take this journey into the Holy Spirit. And to try to get rid of some of these myths and some of these ideas of what the Holy Spirit is and who he is. And to really get down and to dig in and just like, to what advantage is it to us the Holy Spirit lives in us? Now, some of you may say, well, that's a stupid question. But I'm wondering how many of us really know what the advantage of having the Holy Spirit living in us is. And so we're going to take this journey in the next couple weeks, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because I honestly believe that we are missing a big part of the Trinity. is we talk about God the Father, we talk about Jesus Christ, and we very seldom talk about the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending to us the Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, not just to be around us, but to live in us. Father, in the weeks to come, may we fully understand what it means to have God, the Holy Spirit, living in each and every one of us. Father, just pray that when we realize who we have in us, our lives will be transformed, just like the lives of the disciples. And we pray this in Jesus' name.